Photographic evidence is enough to arrest an Olympic champion. And David Caruso is on the case in CSI Michael Phelps.
What do we got?
Well, Horatio, take a look at this picture.
Huh. Looks like his career is going up in a puff of smoke, because this is one swimmer who's in hot water now that he's going for the Acapulco gold.
We've taken every dopey cliche and worked them all into one very special CSI Michael Phelps.
I guess we should bring him in for questioning. What do you think, Horatio?
Time to say ding bong, it's the cops. Then look him in the bloodshot eye and tell him it's time to roll. We're taking him to the joint.
Watch the Golden Boy go from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows on CSI Michael Phelps.
Tonight on A&E, the world's toughest bounty hunter takes on the toughest fugitives in Mumbai. Slumdog the Bounty Hunter.
Hey, I said, I am having got you, and you are now to be coming in with me.
Dwayne Dog Shapnish is Slumdog the Bounty Hunter.
I am telling this to you, my fugitive friend. You are going to have to turn your life around and get right with Ganesh.
He's a man who cares and always gets his man. Slumdog the Bounty Hunter, only on A&E.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Warren Buffett finds $30 million in change in his couch. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Billionaire Warren Buffett discovered over $30 million in change between the cushions of his couch today while looking for his TV remote. The discovery took a 50-man crew nearly 36 hours to remove, sort, and count. But Buffett says he's happy about the recent find.
It's like getting free money, even though most of it was probably mine to begin with.
Also recovered from the couch were a 15th-century Botticelli, five Rolex watches, and a partially eaten ding-dong left by the previous owner. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it.
Get that monster fired, yeah.
So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
And now, from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to February 5th. Today is Thursday.
It's my dad's birthday.
Oh, is it really?
Happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday, Susie's dad.
Yes.
How old is he? Are we allowed to say?
That's a good question. Maybe 60, between 60 and, no, I'm going to say 61 and 63-ish.
Oh, great. Then I don't feel that old.
No, he was born, I think, in 47.
Oh, yeah?
So you do the math. I'm bad at math.
Yeah. That's 61, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Something
goodness.
Like that.
Yes. So, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I think you tried to stage an intervention with me yesterday.
No, I swear to God I did not.
I swear to God you did.
No, I was thinking about it and I thought it probably came through as this.
Yes.
But, you know, but yeah, I swear to God. Okay, I swear to God.
So yesterday's show was not an intervention.
It was not. You know I don't plan anything for the show. I really don't, Susie.
Well,
it just turned out to be that way, you know? Because, I mean, you'd bring anybody in here and give them your story, they're going to feel that way.
Why? What's so bad you're about crazy. It?
Susie, come on, okay? I think we went over this enough.
I know.
Nobody thinks that you've taken enough time to really think it out, I think. You know, and I think, I personally think you're fooling yourself, but you're not fooling anyone else. Okay, so we're not going to talk about it. But listen, have you heard about Christian Bale and what he did on the set and stuff? He started cursing out this guy, this lighting guy.
Oh, I think he's
so hot. Yeah?
Yes.
Well, listen to some of the shit that he said on the stage. It's kind of long, but I'm not going to play the whole thing, but you'll get the idea of what's going on.
Kick your ass! I want you off the set, you
I'm sorry.
No, don't just be sorry. Think for one second.
Ooh.
What the are you doing? Are you professional or not?
Yes, I am.
Do I walk around and rip that? No, shut the up, Bruce. Do I want... No! No! Don't shut me up. Am I going to walk around and rip your lights down in the middle of a scene? Then why the are you walking right through like this in the background? What the is it with you? What don't you understand?
This is like in front of all these people.
You got any idea about, hey, it's distracting having somebody walking up behind
you. Okay, anyway, you get the idea. It keeps going on and on and on forever.
What did that guy do?
This is like a total fucking prima donna right there, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, everybody get out of my way. I'm a big star.
Oh, my God. What movie was that on the set of?
I don't know. Maybe Batman.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But he's so hot.
I suppose. Well, I don't know. I don't see that, but I suppose he is, you know?
Oh, he's definitely very, very sexy.
Is he really?
Yes.
Okay. I guess every movie star, you know, you're going to say that about. I mean, can you think of a movie star that you don't think is hot?
A ton of them.
Really?
Yes. He's one of the few that I think is very, very, very hot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a Tom Hanks, you wouldn't say is hot.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not. But Matthew McConaughey and this guy, Rao. But oh my God, I can't believe how many times he dropped the F-bomb.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like that was a mean F-bomb too.
That was, I mean, could you hear how defensive the guy was getting?
The guy was like, I'm sorry. Oh man, wow. Poor guy. I wonder if he got kicked off the set.
You see, now that's a man that's got issues, you know? I mean, obviously he's taking out all his frustration on the man, but I don't think it's proportional to what happened.
No, definitely not. But I don't know. Give Christian Bale a little bit of a benefit of the doubt, because you never know what's been going on in his day or what's been going on in his life. And you know, sometimes a whole bunch of like really bad things will happen, and it's the littlest thing that will just kind of like push you over the edge.
That's true. But you know, I mean, if nothing else, then later you go and you apologize, not just to the guy, but in front of everybody, you did this.
Yes.
You know, but I don't know that he did that.
God.
What the fuck? But this is what goes on the set, I suppose, you know?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
So I went out with Lane last night, the guy that I was seeing before I went to Australia.
Right.
Because he ran into my girlfriend Chase yesterday, and Lane has had my lizards. And so right. I still hadn't even talked to him since I've been home from Australia and Peru.
And this is a guy you were gaga over for a while. Right?
Yeah.
And you left him behind. You never got in touch with him since you came back?
No.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Why, is it because you don't know what to say?
Well, yeah. A little bit. I don't know. When you're seeing someone and then all of a sudden like they see on Facebook, like, oh, by the way, Susie's now in a relationship with someone else.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like a bit of an asshole thing
to
do,
it
I
is,
suppose.
But you know what? He should have been prepared, and I told you that.
And?
Because when you get involved with Susie, you know, it's like putting your finger in the fire, you know? I mean...
You're going to get burned. Not necessarily. I don't do that to all the boys.
No, just to some of them.
Just to some of them, yes.
All right.
But yeah, so it turns out it's okay. Because
the countdown begins for Daniel, you know.
Oh, stop it.
It started already.
Baby, if you're listening, don't pay any attention to him.
Yeah, she's done it to a million guys, but she won't do it to you.
No, definitely not. Well, at least you guys are giving him fair warning so he can know what he's getting into a little bit.
We've been trying with all the guys, but they don't listen. They just fall into your magic.
Oh, into my web. And then I eat them. Oh, shit.
So how many shows do we have left? We have one tomorrow, and are you going to be here all week next week?
I should be here all week. I don't think...
Okay.
I'm supposed to be on a plane Friday night, but if I can't get my shit together, I can't go in a timely fashion.
Yeah.
So, which means I'll be late for school, blah, 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 blah. Yesterday, I had to spend, like, all day getting my transcripts expedited to Australia because I feel so badly. Like, I wanted to, like, scream at this lady.
Uh-huh.
Her name's Rosemary from Salem State, where I went once upon a time. And so I send her an email, and then I call her, and I'm like, hi, you know, I ordered these transcripts, and then the school hasn't received them. Oh, hi, Suzanne. Yes, this is Rosemary. I just wanted to say, I'm so sorry. I've been meaning to call you. I just had a couple questions. And I'm like, you've been fucking meaning to call me, you goddamn fucking stupid bitch. What? I ordered them 2 weeks ago. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
But so, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, things are time sensitive here.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning to call you. And I'm like, Rosemary, yes, baby, work with me, honey. So instead of like trying to kill her, I was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You need to get them in the mail now. But so she finally was like, oh, I can't expedite them. And I was like, what do you mean you can't expedite them? She's like, you have to arrange to have a FedEx pickup. So I had to go and arrange like a FedEx account and then have the FedEx people like, oh, I don't know. It was just a headache.
Oh, wow.
A big headache.
Yeah.
But I think finally everything is done and everything, the wheels are in motion.
Good.
So who knows? I might not even make it over there. You might be stuck with me for another week or two.
Oh, I see. Well, the position may be filled by then, but we'll see.
Well, then I'll come in as a guest. On the Sam and Whoever show.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm going to find anybody that quickly, but if we do, you know.
You never know. You never know.
But you get top priority here. So.
Thank you. Thank you.
Even though you're throwing it all away, you fucker.
I'm sorry. Don't hate me. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
No, I don't hate you. I don't hate you. I'm baffled. How can someone take this and throw it away? I mean, right when we're verging on stardom, you know.
Verging? We are stars.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, big time. Really big time. You know. And, but, you know, I mean, yeah, you got to do what you got to do, Susie. You know, I told you this, and I'll tell you this till the end, is I support you. I'm not depressed. I'm not hurt. None of this stuff. You know, it just
Thank you.
Yeah, look, you know, luckily I'm old enough so I don't have to give you shit, you know. I mean, if I was younger, you know, I might still play those games and stuff, like guilt and all that. But no, you know, it's just, we move on and.
I'm hungover.
You know. Are you?
Yeah.
From what?
Drinking wine.
Yeah.
I got all cracked out and did a whole bunch of eBay stuff last night. And so then after that, I went out with Lane and drank more wine and more wine and more wine.
Yeah. So what did you guys talk about? I mean, was he like angry with you?
No, to be honest, it was actually probably one of the best times that we'd had together.
Really?
Because before, he's very shy usually. And so when we first started hanging out, like it took a long time for me to kind of like, you know, get inside him. That sounded weird. You know what I mean? To kind of break through his shell.
Uh-huh.
And to have him be comfortable with me, because he was just like in awe of kind of whatever I am. And then I would...
What? The goddess.
No. But I guess I kind of scared him or something. I don't know. But so then every time I would go away and then I would come back, I felt like I had to start all over again with him. But now he's seeing another girl too in Santa Barbara. And now I have my new guy in Australia.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden there was like no pressure.
Great.
And so we actually just had like a really, really, really good time and just talked about what he's been up to and what I've been up to and, you know, all the different things. He's like, are you really going to marry this guy?
The whole fucking world knows.
I know. I'm like, how did he know that? Maybe he listened to one of the shows or something. I'm not sure.
Did you ever write anything about marriage on Facebook?
No.
You never did?
No.
So people have to have listened to the show to know that.
Good point. I guess that is a very good point. Oh, man.
I know. You left so many dead bodies behind you.
Oh, please. It's not that bad. Oh, my goodness.
You know it is. You know it is.
My girlfriend Faraday is supposed to be calling in. I wonder where she is.
Oh, you don't know where she is?
I wonder where in the world she is.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
She could be absolutely anywhere.
Yeah.
Because she travels around more than I do. More than I do.
Do you remember there used to be a game called Where the World Is...
Carmen Sandiego.
Carmen Sandiego.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego.
So now you have it about Faraday.
I know.
I know, you never know where she is. So she works on that boat, right?
She's worked on a whole bunch of different boats. I have no idea if she's working on a boat right now or not. I really haven't been in touch with her in a while. But thanks to good old Facebook, she's like, I'm going to call your radio show. She actually called in at like 8:45, and I was like, Sam's not even here yet.
Yeah.
It's like, we're not even on the air. Calm down.
What were you doing in the car when I got here? I thought you were tweezing your vagina again.
No.
You were texting?
I'm wearing jeans. It's hard to tweeze your vagina in jeans.
Well, I didn't see that.
I was cleaning my car out.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have it detailed again after the show, and then I'm bringing it over to CarMax for an estimate.
CarMax? Where is
CarMax.
That?
CarMax. It's by LAX.
What is it, like a used car dealership?
Yeah, they buy used cars and then they ship them like all around the world to wherever there's like a demand or a need for them.
Yeah.
So hopefully, and they automatically on the spot give you an estimate and like they say, we will buy your car no matter what.
Yeah.
But so that'll be like kind of like last, and then they give you an option for like a cash deal for good for 7 days.
Oh.
So if I get my visa and I like their offer, like the day before I leave, I'll be like, okay, here you go. Here's my car.
They'll really offer you shit, but, you know, what are you going to do? If you have time pressure, you can't.
I know.
What happened with Craigslist? Nothing?
Nothing with Craigslist. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. You know why? It's because people, there's so many ads being posted so fast that you go down to the bottom quickly.
I know.
And then people don't get to your ad.
It's really annoying. Yeah. I don't like it at all.
I know.
And then I tried to put it on eBay, too. But then Eric, I was on the phone with Eric, and he was kind of like walking me through some of the things that I should say about it. And then he was like, hold on, let me call you back. Let me call one of his good friends who sells all kinds of really nice cars. But he sold a bunch of Porsches and things on eBay, and so he had some good advice for me as to what to put. But apparently you don't want to put like the minimum. You want people to bid on it.
Right.
And you want to keep things hidden.
Right.
But I don't know. It just seems weird selling a car on eBay.
Yeah, I know it does. But people do. I know people that bought cars on eBay. Yeah.
But I put a whole bunch of my clothes up on eBay yesterday.
Did you really?
So I've been now getting inundated with phone calls about this dress and that dress. This one girl, I'm so annoyed. I'm like, okay, it's a 100% cashmere dress. I've got pictures of it. You know, because it's cashmere, it's very flexible.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm completely, not completely flat-chested, but, you know, small chest. And, you know, it could fill out with, I've had larger-breasted friends borrow it, and I've had flat-chested friends borrow it. It looks good on everyone. And she's like, what are the exact measurements around the chest? What is the inseam from here to the, what is the shoulder width? And I'm like, I don't know. I have a tape. I'm doing it with a tape measure.
Yeah, well, that's not what even you measuring, expected you to do.
Not even a measuring tape, though, but like a tape measure. And I'm trying to, like, figure this shit out, and I'm like, just fucking buy the dress.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you can try it on, you know.
I know. But, like, I've got a return policy. I'm like, right, you know, I'll take it back if you don't like it.
Yeah.
So.
When the fuck are you going to have time for that? Once she buys it, you're gone.
Good point. That is very good. Well, she can return it to me in Australia.
Yeah, I suppose.
Maybe I should change my return policy.
Yeah, you should.
Shoot. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You should change your return policy to Australia, too.
Just then no one's going to want to pay the shipping. Oh, Sam. Come on now.
No kidding.
Well.
So, okay. I mean, there's like so many questions, you know, about this thing. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know where to start. But I don't want to talk about it anymore. Okay. I feel like I'm pressuring you and stuff.
Well, I'm having a little dinner party tonight if you want to stop by.
Where?
At my house.
Stop by at your house for dinner?
Well, you don't have to stay for dinner because it's a whole bunch of my friends that are coming. But if you and your wife wanted to stop by for some wine or...
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try. What time?
People are coming at 8.
At 8?
Yes.
Okay.
You're not going to come.
No, probably not.
It's kind of like a little...
I'm not going to fit in with your friends, you know?
It's with Lisa. You'll trust me. You would fit in. You would have a grand time. You know all of these people that are going to be there. My girlfriend Lena and Christy and my friend Evan, who's going to be on the show tomorrow.
I don't know Lena and Christy. I've never met them.
You've talked to Lena. You've heard her vibrator on the phone.
Yeah.
That's pretty intimate. I would say you know Lena. I can't believe you made her put her vibrator to the phone and like vibrate on the air.
We might as well.
You are a sick, sick man.
No, she was sick for doing it.
She's easygoing. Anything goes with her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. So are you still posting? I saw a couple more pictures of you.
This morning?
With your shirt open and your boobs barely covered.
No, there are only two of those.
There's only two?
Yeah.
Oh, because I thought I saw another one.
Uh-uh. So there were two of those.
Maybe someone commented on it, so it came up.
Yes. People keep commenting on those. Oh, my God. My one friend in Marblehead, Massachusetts, Gina, you would absolutely love her. We should actually call her and have her on the show one day.
Yeah.
She's just a spitfire, but she's like, Susie, seriously, who hasn't seen your boobs? I mean, really? Put them away. Put that shit away. I'm like, oh, my God.
Now, you see, I don't think you would do this if you had bigger boobs, you know?
No.
You wouldn't?
No, probably not.
Yeah. You see? So I think it's a function of the size of them. Because you probably feel, I don't really have boobs, you know?
I feel like a 14-year-old schoolboy most of the time, you know? So it's like, if they can run around with no shirt, why can't I? I feel like it's a total double standard.
Yeah.
And as for breastfeeding, we were talking about that the other day. When I was in Peru, women, they just have their tits like completely out and they've got the kids attached to them.
Yeah,
in
there
public,
you go.
At restaurants, absolutely everywhere. There you everywhere.
Go. I mean, that's the normal thing.
And there's nothing like sexy or obscene or whatever about it. I mean, it's just she's feeding her child.
Right.
I mean, it's just like as simple as that. Yeah. So I got a little bit pissed off. I actually, I tried to take a picture of this one woman who was breastfeeding her kid to like send to you. But then I was like, yeah, she's probably not going to really like that. But I'm taking a picture of her suckling child.
Plus, I don't see that as a turnout. It'd probably be more like National Geographic.
Yes, that's what I was going to be.
That's the type of thing.
Look at the Peruvian person in their natural habitat. The child attached to the breast. Oh,
like
look at
talking
the suckling.
About animals.
Well, it is an animal.
So, did you see any nice areas there in Lima?
And Lima was very nice.
Yeah.
And we were staying in this gorgeous hotel. And then Miraflores was like really beautiful, and the Bohemian section we were in was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
So Lima was actually pretty nice, but you know, I really don't like big cities. It reminded me of how much I hate big cities when I was there.
Really?
Yes. I don't really consider Los Angeles like a city. Everything's so spread out.
Right.
And, you know, even when you have to get somewhere, you can't really walk anywhere here. You have to drive or take some sort of transportation.
Right.
Or if I'm on my bike, I don't really feel crowded. But when I'm in a city and you have to, like, walk places and you've got people swarming and going against the grain
like
and bucking
into you. Like New York City
you,
or something, right?
Like New York.
Really? That bothers you?
Really bothers
really?
Me.
Really?
I hate it.
Really?
I want to put my elbows up and I want to knock people the fuck out of my way.
Wow. You see, I mean, I get nervous when I'm, like, in big crowds, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't have my own space. But in New York, I like strolling and you know, with people around, you know.
Oh,
especially after you live in L.A. and you don't see anybody walk.
I know. I mean, the walking part is nice, but I just really don't like... It was so crowded in Times Square when I was there over New York. And then we had my special sister, Kate, with us, who has a little bit of a hard time walking or moving around. And so my dad and his girlfriend are walking ahead. And then Mimi and me, we've got our arms linked with Kate. And we're trying to get to the Broadway show we were going to.
Right.
And so we really had to walk three abreast with her because, like, or else it would take 2 hours if we can get there.
Yeah.
Because we kind of have to, like, drag her along.
What about a wheelchair, though?
She can walk, you know, like she, and it's good for her to walk. The exercise is good.
Oh, really?
But it's just, to maneuver her best, it's better if you have two people on either side. But people are, it's like, obviously, we've got a retarded handicapped person, like, right here.
Right.
And people are just, like, banging into us, and they're saying, they're not even saying, excuse me.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? It's like, really? And then when we got to the show, this actually really pissed me off. So we get to the freaking show, and we're waiting to go down the stairs, and there's this lady behind me, and she's pushing her way, like, through me and through other people, and then she get, like, it's fine, you can push me, fine, but don't fucking push my sister, my handicapped sister, who can't defend herself. She gets up in front of me and, like, tries to push through my sister, and luckily there was, like, a fireman behind her. He grabbed her by the arm, and he was like, excuse me, there is a handicapped person in front of you, you need to wait your turn in line.
Wow.
And, like, everyone just turned around and stared at her, and just gave her, like, this evil, evil look, and I was just like, I stuck my freaking tongue out at that bitch.
They're definitely not polite in New York.
No, definitely not. They don't give a shit. No one does. Everyone's just like so absorbed in their own
world.
But
it's because there's so many people, like you said, you know? I mean, how can you start caring about people? You just feel like an ant, you know, with all these ants around you.
I know. And then also, that was another thing. Like, growing up, my mom would always tell me, like, not to make eye contact with all the different people on the streets.
Yeah.
I make eye contact with everyone.
Right.
But then sometimes you get, like, locked into something. My sister was actually told when she was in Peru not to make eye contact and to not look as friendly as she did.
Oh, really?
When she was walking down the streets, or else she could have been assaulted.
Really?
Yep, and mugged. Because some other people in her group actually were mugged and, like, punched in the face and had their purses stolen and...
Jeez.
All this other
shit. I would think it'd be the other way. You know, if you avoid the person, it looks like you kind of like in the inferior position. You know, when you're not looking at someone. And but that's interesting.
Yeah. So she was specifically told, like, she's making herself an easy target by looking happy and friendly and nice, that she needed to, like, make herself look a bit meaner.
Really?
Yeah.
So my sister, and not look people in the eye, huh?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's interesting.
So keep your eyes, like, down and just kind of move with a purpose.
Yeah. Now, you see, why would anybody travel to a place like this? I mean, yeah, she had to go there for work, but you know?
Machu Picchu!
Yeah, well, what the fuck, though? You know, I mean, it's not... I'm not going to go to a place where I think I'm going to get mugged, okay? On a trip, on a vacation.
Yeah.
You know?
I know, I was thinking about that because this other Peruvian lady who drove us, we all piled, like, Mexican style into her car. Like 50 of us in one car. And so she drives us to the light show place, and then she was like, hurry up, get through the gates. And we were like, why are you rushing us? And she's like, you don't understand. This is a really, like, dangerous place to be at night. Hurry up and get through those freaking gates.
Wow.
And once you're in the gates, there are security guards and police everywhere. But I was like, if this lady's telling us, like, hurry up, and, like, she, like, had this sense of urgency in her voice.
Yeah.
Because we were obviously kind of easy targets, like American girls, and we've got our cameras out, and we're swinging and laughing and taking pictures and just being silly.
Uh-huh.
But it is pretty scary when you think about it, because I never really weigh the risks that I'm taking.
Nah.
I just don't think about it.
Not you.
Shush. Shush.
No, that was the biggest joke of the day. But, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but it's true.
Well, I know I don't weigh the risks, and that's fine. But so, I mean, I just, when I'm in New York, I never feel like I'm threatened or that I'm in danger.
Yeah.
But so when I have people constantly telling me that I'm like, you know, I'm a target and I'm, you know, in danger, that's pretty scary.
It is. It is.
So for the first time in my life, I was a little bit scared. I'll give you that.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
You do have some fear in you.
I do.
Really?
Just a little bit.
Just?
Only on Tuesdays. But yes, very, very, very little.
Wow.
So today we have this interesting book, right?
Yeah. We do have to call the author in a few minutes.
Yes.
What's the book?
It's called The President and His Private Secretaries, Lincoln's Men.
Lincoln's Men.
By Daniel Mark Epstein.
Yeah. This kind of interested me, you know, because... he was the one that emancipated the slaves and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got, you know, Obama. And I thought it was pretty relevant. And we can learn a couple of things about the Civil War and that sort of shit. I don't know.
Definitely.
Are you into history and stuff?
I am, actually. For a while, I only got into it with this History of the American Family class that I took back when I was in Salem State, Massachusetts. And then the professor was
History
just,
of the American Family.
History of the American Family, yes.
Oh. That sounds interesting.
It was extremely interesting.
Really?
And I wrote this huge thesis paper on the history of the American family and the changing dynamics of the family with regards to mental retardation.
Wow.
It was like this huge, 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 like literally this thesis going back and looking at all the different... Jesus.
Sorry about that.
Careful over there. you know, just looking at how people have dealt with mental retardation over time, like from lobotomies, like what they did with Rosemary Kennedy, and to just how they would put them, you know, electrocute them, and then how they wouldn't be allowed to reproduce and blah, 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 how they would be drowned.
Yeah.
Right up until like the current with group homes and how people would put their kids, you know, out of sight, out of mind. That way they would give themselves a sense of normalcy.
Wow.
You know, and up to women's rights and issues about aborting their fetuses if, you know, they have the potential to have any kind of developmental disability.
Wow.
So it was actually a pretty heavy duty paper, but the class in general caught me into history, and then I started taking more history classes with the same professor, and I actually was a history major for a while.
Really? So you probably know more about Lincoln than I do. I don't know much about him. That's why I thought it would be fascinating. And the author is Daniel Mark Epstein.
Let's give him a call.
Yeah. A Jewish guy writing about Lincoln.
Epstein's Jewish?
Yes. Absolutely. Every time.
Hello.
Good morning. Is this Daniel Epstein?
This is Daniel Epstein.
Epstein, I'm so sorry. Good morning to you. We're calling you from L.A. This is Sam and Susie in the morning.
Hello,
Sam and Susie. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
And where are we calling you today?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland. Yes.
I've got friends down there.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Susie knows the East Coast much better than I do.
Yes.
But so you wrote about Lincoln's Men. What is your background? Are you into history professionally?
Well, I've written three books on Abraham Lincoln. This is the third, really, of a trilogy. So I've been writing on Lincoln for 10 years, but I've also written biographies of Nat King Cole, Edna St. Vincent Millay, Amy Semple McPherson, who's one of your L.A. former citizens.
Right.
And I've written a lot of poetry and plays. I read a lot of different kinds of things.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Now, on books like this, I would imagine there's a lot of research that goes into it. Is that correct?
There certainly is.
Yeah.
If you're gonna be in this particular game, if you're going to be writing about Lincoln, there are literally hundreds of books that you have to have command of in order to be. As I said, part of the Lincoln community, because so much great stuff has already been written.
Right.
You can't repeat what other people have done.
Right.
That must be very difficult.
Yeah. How long?
Well, it's exciting. If you're, you know, if you're a historian, that's what you love to do.
That's true. It's like investigating, you know. And I would imagine in this, because you're talking about the president and his private secretaries. How many did he have?
He had three. He had three, and they were very young. And this really, this is the most intimate and personal book about Abraham Lincoln that I could imagine. During the Civil War, these three men who served as Lincoln's aides, they were the first ones to see him in the morning, usually the last ones to see him at night. Two of them, John Nicolay and John Hay, actually lived in the White House. They slept in a bedroom across the hall from Lincoln's office.
Whoa.
So they were pretty close.
That's commitment.
Yeah.
They were really close. And all three of these young men kept diaries and wrote letters and journalism. And partly because of their age, they were so young, and their enthusiasm, the view that we get of Lincoln through their eyes is very, very fresh.
Right. How young are we talking about? In their 20s?
At the time of the inauguration, Nicolay was 28, William Stoddard was 25, and John Hay was only 22.
Wow.
Graduate of Brown University.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Good school.
Yeah. Now, a lot has been written about Lincoln and stuff. Are there some revelations in your book that we... Because obviously, they knew him intimately, and they were close with him. What are some of the things that you discovered?
Well, I discovered a side of Lincoln that you don't really see much of, his capacity for friendship. The fact is, even though he was 20 years older than these men, he became a mentor of all three of them. And each of these three young guys has his own drama. For instance, we see John Nicolay, the oldest of them. He's trying to maintain a long-distance engagement with his childhood sweetheart. John Hay, young John Hay, he falls in love with one of the most famous actresses in the world who lives in Washington. She happens to be married to a Union general.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
You can imagine the scandal.
Yeah. Sounds like a soap opera to me.
I know. I like it. I like
but
it.
But it's real.
Yes.
But it's all real. And right. and Lincoln, you know, Lincoln was involved in these people's lives, and he was a good moral guide to them. William Stoddard, if you want an amazing story, he had showed so much promise, but he started gambling in the currency market.
Uh-oh.
And doing insider trading on information he had from the White House. So there are all these dramas going on against the backdrop of the Civil War and the business in the White House, and Lincoln was very much involved in these young men's lives, and they were all changed by him.
Right, right. Yeah, he, I mean, he's a fascinating man, you know, and we were just talking about this before we called you, how, you know, he started the movement to really emancipate the slaves and black people, and then today we have a black president, you know.
Because very time appropriate.
Yeah, sort of like we went a full circle here.
Well, it's a very exciting time, and I think the fact that Obama has referred to Lincoln so many times, using the Lincoln Bible in the inauguration, mentioning the fact that reading about Lincoln has influenced his own policy decisions, Lincoln is a great role model, I think, for any statesman, and Obama is showing the signs of becoming a great visionary statesman right out of the mold of Abraham Lincoln.
Right, right. And I think that's why people love him so much. Was Lincoln loved during his presidency as well, or was it more afterwards?
Well, after he was assassinated, he really became a kind of a martyr saint.
Right.
And, that's a kind of love that that's transcends anything we could imagine for a living person. But yes, during his own time, the people who were close to him, they sensed the greatness in him. He was very tender-hearted. He was very sympathetic. And he was certainly loved by the people who knew him and were close to him. Now, he had a lot of enemies.
Right.
A lot of enemies. Just in his own party, for instance, you were talking about slavery, there were abolitionists in his own party who felt that Lincoln was not didn't come out strongly enough against slavery.
Oh.
So he struggled with them.
Right.
There were lots of people. He almost didn't get reelected for the second term because there was so much opposition to him in his own party.
Right. So there was a great division there.
There was. So he had to deal with a lot of strife and a lot of conflict, not just between the North and the South, but in his own Republican Party.
Right, right. So so it's almost like the John Kennedy example, whereas I know in some history courses I took in college, professors tended to say that John Kennedy really didn't do a lot, but yet we loved him. Maybe because he was assassinated. Do you think it's the same thing with Lincoln, or did he? I mean, obviously, Lincoln had a chance to do a lot more than Kennedy.
Well, it's pretty clear. If you look at Lincoln's record from the very beginning, he was constantly leading the people, leading them towards a better understanding of how important it was for the Union to stay together. He was a leader in his party. He was the way he managed the cabinet was extraordinary. Everything from monetary reform to every part of the working of the government. Lincoln was a very hands-on president and left behind an extraordinary record. So,
right.
It's not really quite a fair comparison with Kennedy,
right.
who really didn't have much time.
Right. Right. And finally, the names of these men was Nicolai, Hay, and Stoddard, right, that you studied?
Yes, John Nicolai, John Hay, and William Stoddard. They were Nicolai was Lincoln's first choice. He was a journalist. And it was really the slavery issue that brought the two of them together. And Nicolai was very clever, totally devoted to Lincoln, and that's why he chose Nicolai. John Hay was more better educated. He was kind of a poet and romantic, very charming and eloquent. Lincoln could see the potential in him.
Right. Were they friends or associates of him before he appointed them as secretaries?
Yeah. How did he come? How did he meet them?
They were John Nicolai. He met Lincoln in 1856, 4 years before Lincoln was elected, he wrote one of the first endorsements for Lincoln for president. And after Lincoln was elected, he asked Nicolai to handle his mail and appointments, and then he took him with him to Washington. And John Hay was knew Lincoln slightly. John Hay got his job really because Nicolai, his best friend, recommended him.
Right.
Stoddard came on board after the inauguration. He'd been a hardscrabble journalist who'd met Lincoln in 1859 and also endorsed, was one of the first newsmen to endorse Lincoln's candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was politics mostly that brought them together at first.
Right, right. Well, this is fascinating. I know that I'm definitely reading the book. I started this, and I thought it was really a different view on things. And congratulations on the book. Was this just released?
Well, thank you so much. Yes, it was. And I picked up the USA Today, and I saw a lovely review of it.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Nice. You must that must have made your day.
I'm very excited about that because right now there are 67 different new books out on Lincoln.
67?
Beg your pardon?
67.
That's a lot.
67 new books on Lincoln.
And, wow.
So to get mine singled out, I'm very proud and I'm very excited about this book because, as I said, I think it's a more personal look
right.
at Abraham Lincoln than you're going to get elsewhere.
Right. Lincoln's Men, The President and His Private Secretaries by Daniel Mark Epstein. All the best to you. Congratulations on the new book. I'm sure you still have a lot of people to talk to about this.
Well, thanks, Sam and Susie. I really appreciate your attention.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Have
and
a great
all
day.
The best.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Anyway, so we got a little history lesson this morning.
Yeah.
You ready to take a little break?
Yeah. It's just funny because I kind of like get in the zone when I hear someone talking about history. I kind of sit back and I feel like I'm in school.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I just listen to them kind of talk and you kind of get absorbed in the story. And then sometimes I'm just like, oh, I've been sitting here and I haven't said anything for like 15 minutes.
That's okay. It's your chance to relax a little bit. You do enough talking.
Thank you. No, but it's just nice when you have someone that's like really well informed that talks about something that's interesting. And I don't know, I just kind of get very visual and I just kind of imagine what things must have been like that back in the day.
Yeah. I know. It's very interesting, you know. And I used to be really into history. I still am. I just don't really have the time for it. But I was always curious about Lincoln because he's like a very popular president.
Yeah.
You know?
This is a really stupid question. I really don't know much about Kennedy. How long was he in office before he was assassinated?
Like a couple years. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he didn't really have a chance to do that much. You know?
Why was he so loved? Just because he was handsome?
Well, I think they captured, you know what, they really, you know, with Jackie O and stuff, Jackie Kennedy, let's say, before she was Jackie O, they captured the imagination, just like Barack Obama and his family now.
Okay.
You know, I mean, people sort of liked these kids in the White House and all that sort of thing, you know, so it was nice, you know. Guess who's calling?
Faraday.
Good morning. You're with Susie
air.
On the air. Who's calling?
It's Faraday.
Like we don't know.
Hi, Faraday. How are you, baby?
Oh, my name comes up, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, thanks.
Where in the world are you?
I'm back in south of France. I'm actually in the same place I was when I spoke to you the last time.
That was south of France.
But
that's right.
Yeah, but I've been around then. I just got back from Key West Race Week. That was cool.
Oh, nice. How was that?
Yeah, it was really good fun. Key West is a bit of a weird town, hey?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. A lot of partying there.
What's with the hay?
Yeah, but it's quite funny when, like, there's the regatta because the town gets overrun by sailors. So there's already the weirdos and the parrot heads, and then there's all the sailors.
The weirdos and the parrot heads. Oh, my God. It's kind of like Halifax and Marblehead when you've got your drunken sailors and then you've got the rest of your drunken town and then the rest of, like, the yuppies.
Yeah.
And then it all comes together and you're just like, holy shit. There's a lot of, like...
Yeah, just add a couple more homeless people.
Yeah, seriously.
Now, Faraday, are you, like, on water, what, 90% of the time?
Not 90% of the time. Maybe just a little bit under, but
You're mostly on
boats. Like I'm always moving around on the water. I've been doing a lot of like flying out to different regattas and doing some freelance racing. So it's been kind of cool.
How big is the racing community that you're in? I mean, like there can only be so many huge boats that you race on. Therefore, does everyone kind of like know everyone? Is it very incestuous?
It's pretty small, yeah. But like it's not just big race boats, you know. There's like a huge group of one design 40-foot boats called Far 40s.
Okay.
And they're like all exactly the same boat and they have a crew. And so because they're exactly the same boat, it's all down to like the crew and their ability kind of thing, because all the boats are exactly like all the sails are the same, la la la.
Right.
So all the crews are like really well trained and they take it really, really seriously. And they're very incestuous. They know everything about each other. You have to get like, you know, before each regatta, you have to make a certain weight and it gets very serious.
Really?
So you race boats? So she races them?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
What do you think she did? Just sat around having Bloody Marys and cheese on the boat?
Yeah, I didn't know what she did. I thought she was on a crew of boats and stuff. You know?
She's like one of the crew, like racing it.
Racing the boats?
Yeah, for all these like rich motherfuckers.
That's news. Oh, I see. So they pay you. they pay you, Faraday, to race.
It is pretty incestuous. And the other thing is there's not a lot of chicks. There's only like a handful of girls that do it. So even more so incestuous if you're a girl. Even more so if you're a young girl, because everybody's a little bit older than our age, Izzy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a bit of a hindrance with my name.
Yeah.
Yes. And you're gorgeous and your breasts.
Yeah. And plus, it's really hot for a chick, for a hot chick, to be racing boats, you know?
Oh, trust me, she knows.
Yeah. How did you get into this, Faraday? How do you get into something like that?
My mom and dad have always sailed, and they lived on a boat half the year since I was little. And I just went straight into it because that's what I liked at the time when I graduated high school and I wasn't ready for college. So I just went and got my captain's license and then started working on boats and progressed to racing, kind of.
Wow, how cool is that?
I know, it's awesome.
Are you going to ever settle down with someone? Or is this going to be your lifestyle forever?
Well, that's a hard question to answer right now because I just broke up from an 8-year relationship, so.
Wow, 8 years.
He was a racer,
I'm
too.
I'm definitely not thinking about that right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what time is it there? You guys, like, what, 7 hours ahead of us or something?
It's about almost 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, not bad. Yeah, Faraday, what do you think about my move to Australia?
Yeah, what's going on here?
That's what everybody's asking. What's going on
here? I'm going to school full-time at James Cook University in Cairns, and I have a new boyfriend over there. He's a scuba diver.
Cairns?
What?
In Cairns.
In Cairns, yes, in Cairns. Have you been up there?
No, I haven't been at all.
Oh, my God. Well, that's fabulous. We'll have to get you some races in Australia, and you can come visit me and come scuba diving.
Yeah, so...
Well, the next big race is Sydney Hobart. That's next December, but there's smaller races in between.
Well, you'll totally... Oh, my God, that'll be so much fun. And I'm off from school for, like, 3 months, from, like, November, December, and January, I think. So
if we don't get it together in 2009, I'm going to just, I don't know, kill you in your sleep.
So what do you think of your, you guys are very good friends, right?
We've grown up together. We've known each other a long time.
So, I mean, is this characteristic of Susie to do, like, to decide, you know, I mean, she by her own admission, she just went to bed with this guy. She really liked it. She, according to her, fell in love. And in 2-3 weeks, she's leaving her entire life behind to move over there. And she claims that it's for school, but, you know, what do you think? What do you think is going on here?
If it was anybody else, I'd be like, what the hell are you doing? If it's Susie, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, she's doing exactly what she wants to do.
Exactly, what she's supposed to do as Susie.
I'm not worried at all.
Yeah.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. Wonderful. I really appreciate that.
Good. Well, it's important to come from someone who knows you very well.
Exactly,
you know, so,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I just got back from Peru, too, Farah.
I was just looking at your photos, Miss I Love New York. Who goes sightseeing in an I Love New York t-shirt?
I've totally fit in with all of, like, the Japanese tourists. They were like, oh, ching chong, ching chong. And I was like, oh, yes, yes, I have my I Love New York shirt on. I had a different
that's
I Love...
weird, because my mom was just there.
In Peru?
Yeah.
What was she doing there?
She did the, is it the Inca Trail?
The Inca Trail, yep, up to Machu Picchu.
Yeah, she did that with her friend in, a month ago or 2 months ago.
Sounds oh, cool. Okay. Very nice.
I don't think anybody cares about it, though, you know, other than you.
The Inca Trail?
Yeah. No, about...
We were having a
about
historical
her mother
day.
Going to Peru, okay?
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Listen, sweetheart, we want to take a little break. Anything else you want to talk to her about, Susie, before we go?
No, but definitely let's Skype later, Farah.
Okay, but maybe just really quickly, can you tell me what this guy looks like?
There are pictures of him on Facebook. Go to the album, okay. S&D.
Yeah, but we want to hear you describe him.
Okay, he's about 6...
Yeah, exactly. I want to hear you describe him.
Okay. He's about 6'2", blonde, curly hair, very deep blue steel penetrating eyes, gorgeous lips. Very tan skin.
Notice how she's only talked about physical characteristics so far.
Well, she said describe him.
Yeah,
well. Oh. Okay, he's English. He's got a wonderful English accent, which I absolutely love. His name's Dan, too. Actually, that's kind of funny because her ex-boyfriend of 8 years was a Brit named Dan.
Right. So far, it's been only surface things. Tell us something important.
He's a thrill seeker. He's kind of quiet initially. And so you kind of have to, like, I don't know. I have to be patient and, like, wait for him to say things, or else I'm just kind of like, blah, blah. And he's like, can I get a word in edgewise? And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll be quiet now. Let's see. His parents live in Australia, and I don't know. I don't know what else to say about him. He's fabulous.
He's just
a woman.
In love.
He's
What's
a woman.
His last name? Oh no, you can't say his last name.
I can't. But he is a womanizer, so that's kind of interesting.
Well, that's like a good challenge. You can tame the womanizer.
I know.
I don't know what it is with you women and challenges, you know? Yeah, I'm going to rein him in. I'm going to change him. I'm going to, you know. I don't know, it's also good because
you know that he's got experience, so he knows what he's doing.
Oh, he's got plenty of experience, and he knows what he's doing.
Okay, I'm out of this discussion. Anyway, Faraday, thanks so much for calling. So when's the next race, you said?
I'm going to the Heineken Regatta in St. Martin on March 3rd.
Wow, what a fucking life, man.
I still have a plane ticket to St. Martin.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with it?
I don't know. Maybe I should use it right now.
Maybe you should come down to the Heineken Regatta. Last year, a year before, the Black Eyed Peas played at it.
I like Heineken.
Good.
Yeah,
then you should
fun.
Go.
It's a big press thing, so there's a lot of like bands that play and a big turnout.
That sounds fun. But I'll be in school, so I won't be able to go. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to go take a break, Faraday. I love you, and we'll chat soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye, Faraday. The only thing is she sounded awful on that Skype, you know?
Did she?
Yeah. I mean, it was cutting out all the time. You know, it sounded like she's in a tin room or something.
I know. Why does it sound like that from far away?
I don't know. It's not because it's far away. It's just because I think she's got a shitty internet connection and probably not a very good mic. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
Bruce Johnson is a real GEICO customer, not an actor. So to tell Bruce's story, we hired a real actor, The Dark Knight's Christian Bale.
I was driving to work when I lost control of my car and rear-ended someone.
Oh, good for you. And how was it? I hope it was good because it's useless now, isn't it?
I didn't mean to do it. It just happened so fast, and I told the other driver I was sorry.
Now, don't just be sorry. Think for one second. The f*** are you doing?
So I called GEICO, and they sent someone right out to take care of me and the guy I hit.
I'm gonna kick your ass. You know, shut up for a second, all right?
GEICO. Real service, real savings, really angry celebrities.
Seriously, man, you and me, we're done professionally. You're unbelievable, man. You're unbelievable.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
sick and tired of this rain. It's washing you off my brain. Been too long since you've gone away, and I'm sick and tired of this rain. Yeah, yeah. Sick and tired of this rain. 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 Sick and tired of this rain.
Listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Previously on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
And then we go and we get in his bed. Uh-huh. And so we kind of start fooling around a little bit. And all of a sudden, like, he sticks his hand in my, you know, wet pussy. Like, I was wet from the pool and, like, wet from being wet. And all of a sudden, I queefed. I'd never had a hand.
For those who don't know what queefing is, it's a pussy fart.
Yes, it's a pussy fart.
That's
so he sticks his hand in my pussy and I queef. So I was so mortified, like my face turns red, and he pulls his hand out and he was like, "Oh my god, that was disgusting. Put your clothes on. I'm taking you home."
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
We're always gonna have these golden nuggets here for us to listen to.
Is it really bad when you go to look in your purse for your lip gloss and you pull out a breathalyzer?
A breathalyzer?
Safety begins with me. Crush, blow, shake. Installation management command, support and defend.
Okay, so will that work right now? Let's see if you're drunk.
Oh, I don't want to waste it.
Oh, it's wasted? Oh, it gets wasted?
You only use it once.
Oh, I see.
I've actually had a whole bunch of other breathalyzers, too. Like, you know, really expensive ones. Like $400 or $500 ones that,
really?
That Michael's bought me. He's like, "You need to blow this before you get in your car."
And I don't think you do. I think you're pretty much drunk every time that you drink. So it's not like you really need this thing.
True. Very funny. But back when I was bartending, it was interesting because like I would kind of keep it behind the bar and I'm like, "Okay, let me just see if you're okay to drive because I know what I've served you." And the person's like, "No, I'm fine to drive." And I'm like, "No, give me your keys or blow into this." Mm-hmm. All right, let me see. They blow into that. Next person down is like, "Oh my God, I want to see how drunk I am. Give me that." And next thing you know, everyone at the freaking bar is like putting their herpied lips like all over my fucking breathalyzer. And then all of a sudden it like stops working. Yeah. But the funniest thing was when I first got it, I was in San Francisco with my friend Andrea and Michael, and I would get really drunk and I blew into it, and all of a sudden it didn't even give me a reading. It said ho five. I was like, ho five? What the fuck does that mean?
Ho five.
And so I look up the manual and it's like, "You are legally dead." And I was like, "What the fuck?" So then my friend Andrew would blow into it, and it would give her a reading of like 0.08 or something.
Yeah.
And then I would blow into it, and it was like, ho five. And I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me." And so then I would have Michael blow into it, and it would register zero, because he wouldn't have anything to drink. Uh-huh. Then Andrew would blow into it, and it would say 0.08. I'd blow it, ho five. I'm like, "You've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, I'm not legally dead." And so obviously it was like registering correctly if it was, you know, giving Michael a zero and Andrew the 0.08.
It was consistent pretty much.
It was very, very consistent.
Yeah.
Except for me.
Yeah. Let's see who's on the phone. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah. Am I really on the air? I'm trying to figure out, are you guys losing Susie or what? What's going on?
Hi, St. Louis, Steve.
Apparently, you've not been listening, have you, Steve?
Well, I have, but I just got tuned back in again. My thing bumped off.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, we've been talking about it for weeks now.
Well, I heard she was leaving, but I mean, is it for real? She's always seemed like she's gone somewhere.
That's true.
I'm just gone in general.
But she's really leaving the program?
She is.
Steve, well, it's pretty much like 90% official that I will be leaving. I will be leaving and moving to Australia.
It's not 90%. It's 100%.
Well, it's not 100% until I get my visa.
Well, see, that's what I'm trying to understand because I'm sad. But, I mean, I still listen to LA Talk Radio, Sam.
It won't be the same for you, I know, Steve. But, you know, I mean, we're all going to miss her and everything. But, you know, all good things come to an end, usually.
But Steve, also, if Sam will let me, I want to have a show like 1 hour a week from Australia.
Oh, good, especially for Steve.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. Yes, it'll be just for you,
okay,
Steve.
Okay, well, I just don't want to lose touch with you, so...
We'll always be Facebook friends.
So. Yeah, there you go. You see, you broke another heart now, Susie.
And remember, if I don't ever talk to you again, you've got a free massage if you ever come to St. Louis.
I always have remembered my free massage, my sensual massage in St. Louis.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks so much for calling.
Okay, take it easy.
Sure. Take care.
Bye, Steve. Bye.
He loves you, this guy.
I know.
Which is nice.
That was so funny. Cool. Like back, that was like probably one of our first shows. The first week we were doing them, when Janique and I were talking about the sensual massages by the hippies.
Oh, really? Is that when he called in?
Yes,
the first time.
Because we were looking across the street, and I was like, "Oh, like they're having a whole like massage party over there." And so Janique and I went over, and we're like, "Well, we're going to join the massage party." And then next thing you know, we were getting these sensual massages, and I couldn't tell like if the guys wanted to hook up with us or not, or you know, it was just kind of weird.
Yeah.
But then he called in. And he was like. That was the first time he called in. He's like, my name's St. Louis Steve. Uh-huh. And he loved Janique.
Yeah.
And then he was like, if you girls ever come to St. Louis, he's like, I'll give you a free sensual massage.
It sounds good. You better go to St. Louis then.
I know. Speaking of massages, you still owe me a Thai massage from the bet you lost.
Oh, on the Red Sox thing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, the Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Don't think I haven't forgotten.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, since we were having a history day, I wanted to bring up something. Sorry I keep talking about Peru people, but this is actually really... Fuck. God damn microphone. Swear to God. Never mind. I want to just situate myself.
Okay.
All right, so I actually did not have a chance to go to this place, but my sister did. And it's outside of Iquitos, and it's called the Nazca Lines. And it says, the Nazca Lines are a series of geoglyphs located in the Nazca Desert, a high plateau that stretches more than 80 kilometers between the towns of... Oops, I lost my thing. Of Nazca and Palpa on the Pampas de blah, 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 in Peru. But so, basically... they are believed to have been created by the Nazca culture between 200 BC and 700 AD. And there are hundreds of individual figures ranging in complexity from simple lines to stylized hummingbirds, spiders, monkeys, fish, sharks, orcas, llamas, and lizards. And the lines are shallow designs in the ground where the reddish pebbles that cover the surrounding landscape have been removed, blah, 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 blah. But there are hundreds of simple, like very, very, very straight lines and geometric shapes. And the largest of them are over 200 meters.
Really?
They're ridiculously huge.
Wow.
And it wasn't until the 1920s when some guy was flying over in his plane that he looked down and he was like, that's a monkey. That's like a football, like two football fields worth of a monkey.
Really?
Like what, or a fucking lizard or a hummingbird. Like, what are these from? And there's one that's actually, it looks like an alien or an astronaut.
Really?
And this is
now,
from
these
200
are patterns
BC.
What, on the ground?
They're carved somehow into the ground on the desert.
And how doesn't it get covered by the sand and everything?
Well, that's what it said. They're shallow designs in the ground where the reddish pebbles that cover the surrounding landscape have been removed, revealing the whitish earth underneath.
Oh.
So, I don't know.
That's interesting.
But people have no idea like what it's about or what the explanation for these lines are or how these people were even capable of making these things.
I know. I love this kind of stuff, you know.
No, but look at this picture.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So everyone, like, if you're interested, I really suggest going to, like, Wikipedia or looking up Nazca lines. Like, look at that. That monkey's freaking huge.
Yeah.
It's like one, and it's just like people have been dying. Like, anthropologists have been, like, flocking to this place trying to figure out, like, what these things were made from or if they were done by aliens. Like, there have been a ton of books written on it, like, saying the aliens came down and did this.
Yeah.
But
why would it have to be aliens? I mean, people can do this.
In 200 BC?
Yeah, why not?
That's a really long-ass time ago.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the thing is, drawing something on the ground, even if it's huge, yeah, I mean, I think they could have done that, Susie.
But how do they make the lines, like, so perfectly straight that, you know, they're ridiculously long?
Yeah, I mean, well there's curves and everything, but yeah, just like they do, like, look, how do they do, like, I don't know, like,
Like what?
I don't know, like big things, you know. I mean, there's like all kinds of art displays and stuff. And like, how do they do maps, do you think? I mean, they mapped the world before there were satellites, before all of that, and people could figure out what shape it was, you know. And that was a long time ago, too.
That was like 500 years ago.
No, that was a lot more, much longer than that.
I don't know. This is just amazing and fascinating. And I want to know, like, what these people were doing and why they built these lines.
No, I know.
Like,
I mean,
they spent a lot of time doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, but then again, they were bored. They didn't have TV and shit. You know, no internet. So that's all they could do. But no, I mean, I don't know what it is, the preoccupation with aliens and shit. It's like people can do so many things. Why do we always, the first thing we ask is aliens, you know? There are no fucking aliens.
Well, no, one of the things that they drew in the desert was an alien.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And an astronaut with like this huge like bubble type thing on his head.
Yeah,
like they carved like an astronaut into the sand.
Maybe it's just a bad picture of a person.
No, it's definitely an astronaut and an alien. So I'm telling you, like something weird is going on there, and I want to figure out what the hell it is.
Yeah.
So maybe after I'm done with Australia, if I ever am, then I'll go to Peru and get my master's in anthropology and study them.
I see. Okay, so you become an anthropologist now.
Maybe in a couple of
years.
First
you were a sex therapist, now you're, then it was what, psychologist?
Well, I've always been into psychology. The sex therapist thing and the psychology are kind of hand in hand.
Okay.
So that's never changed.
But you moved away from the sex therapy thing.
For now, but I can always specialize in that later on if I still have an interest in it.
Yeah.
But I really don't think there, I don't know, at least where I'm going to be in Australia, I don't really think there are going to be that many people or clients for sex therapy. That's just what I'm thinking because it is a very small place.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm going to stick with something where I'll probably actually have a chance of getting a job if I stay in Australia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. Should we take a short break to see if our guest is here? Because he may be here. We'll just take a short quote-unquote commercial break.
Okay.
We'll be back right after this.
If you're a White House nominee, don't let tax season turn into open season on you because of back taxes. Go straight to H&R Block.
Thanks to H&R Block, I didn't have to pay penalties and interest. That's because I showed no interest in paying my taxes in the first place.
No matter which cabinet post you're up for, H&R Block will find every excuse in the book for your tax problems.
This is President Barack Obama, and I urge you to file a Schedule A for Audacity and come to H&R Block.
H&R Block. Ask about our free e-filing from federal prison.
We promise to answer all your tax questions and not ask any tax questions ourselves.
H&R Block. You've got people. Embarrassing, scandal-ridden people.
Hello, this is Borat Sagdiyev. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
Okay, no guest yet.
No guest yet.
No guest yet.
I'm feeling rather vacuous today.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. Because I didn't drink for like 2 days, and then I didn't really get very good sleep not drinking, so I decided to drink last night, and now I'm like, ugh.
Really?
Yes.
So what was it like to take a break from drinking?
No sleep.
Yeah, you see, you're so used to it, huh? To being fucked up when you go to bed.
And then tonight I have to drink because I'm having a dinner party at the house, and then I don't know.
I guess you have to.
I have to. Well, I guess I don't have to. No, I have to.
No, you don't have to.
No, I have to. I totally have to. I can't. Oh, my God. What should I cook for dinner for like 8 to 10 people?
8 to 10 people.
I want to do it really cheap.
Yeah, the easiest thing is probably barbecuing, you know?
We don't have a barbecue, though.
Then get one.
Yeah, I said I want to do it cheaply. I don't have time to go out and buy a barbecue grill or the money.
One. But, okay, so the next option is macaroni and cheese.
No, that's cheap. I'm a bit of a gourmet chef. I want to have something like that's nice and impressive to my friends. Maybe I should do some kind of like wonderful like soup or stew or something.
Mm-hmm.
That could be nice.
Yeah, soup, salad.
Soup and salad and some wine and some like bruschetta.
Yeah.
That could be good.
Yeah.
And nice and cheap.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
You're not coming for dinner, are you?
Get some olives and stuff to go along with it.
Ooh, that could be nice.
Yeah, cheese, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that bad.
Well, now it's getting expensive. We're getting into cheese.
You could get $50, probably a whole meal.
Okay.
You know?
I do have a gift certificate to Trader Joe's, too.
You could do that. You could do hamburgers, which ground beef is cheap. right?
Yeah. For some reason, I don't like touching raw meat very much.
Yeah.
Like when you have to actually make the hamburger patty. Bleh,
yeah.
It reminds me of worms.
But you can buy them pre-made, the patties, you know, and you just put it on the grill. But
could do that.
But yeah, I mean, who wants to cook and shit, you know? Just kind of, yeah, do a salad and soup. You know, it's probably going to be girls that watch their figures anyway.
All my friends that are girls that watch their figures, they all, like, have very healthy appetites.
Yeah.
We all like to eat.
Yeah.
And I have a bunch of guys coming over, too, so.
Yeah.
So we shall see. We shall see.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with salad and, you know, hors d'oeuvres and shit.
Yeah.
Know? You can get those pigs in a blanket.
I will not get pigs in a blanket. Ew.
I love those things.
Ew, that's disgusting.
You don't like hot dogs then?
I like hot dogs. But really? A pig in a blanket, like, I don't know, at a party? No.
Yeah, it's the
maybe
best.
Maybe if you're at like a three-year-old's birthday party.
It's the best for munchies, let me tell you. I used to devour these.
Oh, my God. Actually, speaking of food, remember when we had those two, the Pulitzer Prize winning authors who wrote No Time to Think.
Yes.
The two Jews that were in here. Yeah. I was like, ha, three Jews and a shiksa. And they're like, what? We thought we were coming to a serious like news station. I'm like, oops, sorry guys.
But they actually put a link to our to the interview with us on their site.
Really?
Believe it or not, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they had a good time. They had a great time.
They totally did.
Howard Rosenberg from the LA Times, and it was Charles Feldman from CNN.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what about it?
Well, I was just thinking, because we were talking about food with them very briefly, and how they were saying how they wrote a lot of the book in Art's Delicatessen up
yes,
the street.
Yes,
I actually had lunch there yesterday with my friend
did
Evan.
Did you? Isn't it the best?
Holy shit.
Yeah, Art's Deli down the street
from amazing.
Us.
I ate 10 ounces of corned beef yesterday.
Really?
For lunch.
I know, the sandwiches are huge.
Absolutely huge. You get a plate of pickles. I mean, they've got everything on there from like gefilte fish and like liverwurst and,
yeah.
You know, I mean,
see,
I'm
that's how
you.
Delis are, you know.
Oh,
and
that was a real deli.
Yeah, it really is cool. You
I'm
know?
Not going to miss that much in LA, but I'm going to miss that place. And I just
really?
Discovered it.
And you just discovered it.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I know.
You know when you have two good. Sandwiches for lunch and it costs $40?
I know. The sandwiches are expensive, like $15 a piece. You
I know.
Know.
And then you have a drink on top of that all, and then your tip. And next thing you know,
yeah,
for two people, it's like $40.
Yeah, $40, $50 easy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I know. But all delis are like that, you know?
Well, good
and,
delis.
And many delis are good. I mean, most delis I've been to are very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many ways to make a fucking sandwich, you know?
I know. But it was kind of interesting because, like, you had to ask for everything that you wanted, like, and it would all come on the side and you kind of would have to, like, create it yourself.
Yeah.
And so I get, like, this huge freaking sandwich with, like, the 10 ounces of corned beef and I'm uh-huh. like, oh, yes. And so I made it into an open-faced sandwich and then I put coleslaw on top and then I put Russian dressing and mustard on top uh-huh. and I just, like, shoved it in my face
uh-huh.
and I just had, like, shit all over my face and it's spilling down me. This one guy who was sitting across the way just kept staring at me. So I finally did, like, over-exaggerated, like, I just smeared it all over my face. I had, like, a coleslaw mustache with, like, mustard in my nose. And I, like, look over at him, and I'm like, what? Like, what do you want as I shove a pickle in my mouth? And then I totally, like, horrified him, and he went back to reading his book. But it was total Jewish deli.
Yeah. It
total
is.
Jewish
all,
deli.
All delis are Jewish. But you got to try the matzo ball soup. You know,
those are amazing. I invited myself over to your house for matzo ball soup.
I don't fucking make matzo ball soup. We
Why
don't
not?
Make that. You go to a deli and get one.
Really?
Yeah, those are really good.
Do you do like, one ball
time,
or two?
Look, you've got another week or so. Go to Arts a couple more times.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
I'm going to fatten myself up.
Yeah, usually I get a matzo ball soup and a fucking huge sandwich, and I can never finish it.
Oh, my God.
But it's just I have to have both. You know, they're so good.
Well, I was planning on actually taking home half of it, but it was so good, so I just kept, like, shoving it in my mouth. I'm like, oh, can't eat anymore.
I know. It's amazing sometimes how you've got to eat the whole thing. You
shove
know?
It in my mouth.
We're fucking pigs.
I know. We really are. It's so sad. I come back from the third world countries, and I'm just like, I just want to gorge myself.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know. Is that where they do the train surfing? Is that in Peru? Or is that
train surfing?
Or Brazil? Or yeah. It's like these guys, they just hang on the fucking trains and they surf them. You know, like they just hang on the train from the outside and...
Like on a snowboard type thing?
Yeah. Well, no. They're just attached to the fucking train and they just take it for sport. You know, as
Wait,
a sport.
I don't understand.
They ride the train, but they don't sit down inside. They just hang from
outside.
So, like,
outside. Train hopping.
Yeah. Something like... No, not train hopping.
I don't understand.
Look, okay, you got the train car, right?
Yeah.
Okay, they're hanging from outside or sitting on the top on the roof.
Okay.
Okay? And just enjoying the ride, the fast ride on the train.
So kind of train hopping.
Okay, whatever. I don't know what train hopping is. But I when I read about it a couple of years ago, they called it train surfing.
Oh, yeah. That could be kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm actually, sure it would.
You know what? Maybe I'll put that on my list of things to do.
There you go.
My ex-boyfriend in Canada, when I met him at Burning Man, he actually was telling me that he had just finished train hopping.
Oh, really?
And he just did it for fun.
Yeah.
That's what
they do it for fun.
I know.
I would imagine it'd be pretty exhilarating.
Pretty,
you know?
Exhilarating. If you fucking fall off the train, you're dead.
Yes, you are.
You're a freaking pancake.
Yeah, but the same with the parachute you went on and all this other shit you do.
Yeah, but they've never had like that many accidents with that. I mean, jumping onto a train is just like, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
I'll try it.
What the hell, right?
I'll try it once, okay? If I don't like it, I'm not doing it again.
Yeah, if you're still alive, that is.
If I'm still alive.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, do they hop on when it's moving?
Or no, I think they hop on once it starts moving or something.
And the conductors obviously don't know that this is happening.
If they do, what the hell can they do, you know?
Well, then they can stop the train and make them get off.
I don't think so. Third world countries, what the fuck do they care? It seems like human life is worthless there for them, you know?
I know.
It really is, you know?
They actually did that in Slumdog Millionaires in the movie.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, we were talking about this movie yesterday. Now, there is torture in this movie, right?
Yes.
So why are some people saying there isn't? I don't know what the fuck.
It's not.
You saw it, right?
Yes.
Okay, and there is torture and shit.
Yes.
Now, this is an Indian movie, right?
Yes.
Does it have subtitles or is it in English?
That's a good question.
You don't remember?
I think it was in English.
Wouldn't you remember if there was subtitles? You probably would.
I think I would.
Yeah.
I think it was in English.
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. I would never see an Indian movie.
No, you need to see this movie.
Why?
It's just unbelievable. It's probably now one of my top favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. You need to see it.
Really?
Please do it for me.
But they said it's a scary movie, right? Is that what it is?
No, it's not scary. No, the one they were talking about yesterday was like some Japanese horror movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm mixing up the two.
I have no interest in that. That's like straight torture where they're putting needles in people's eyes. Like,
I thought that was in this movie.
No.
I'm mixing up
this
the
guy
two
gets
things.
His balls electrocuted and has like some water torture and, you know, minor details.
Minor details.
Minor things.
Yeah.
Some people actually pay to have their balls electrocuted.
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh my God.
I was listening to some mistress on Sheena Metal's show the other day. And, you know, they're talking about this. And it keeps amazing me that men just want to be humiliated even without sex being involved, you know?
I know.
It's so freaky.
Well, actually, that reminds me. Please, please, please remind me. And if any of the listeners are out here, please remind me. Send me a Facebook message or something. But when I was in New York City... So, I think I might have told you about the professional dominatrix that sat down next to me.
Yes, but I don't remember, so you might as well tell it again.
Well, I told you from Australia, I think, or I don't know. But so, I went to this this bar with my girlfriend Anna, and I was waiting for two other friends to come, and this couple walks in, and they go to sit in those seats, and I was like, I'm sorry, the seats are taken. I'm waiting for some friends. And so then they're like, oh, there's nowhere else to sit. So they went to leave. Then I felt badly. I actually chased them out onto the street. I was like, I'm sorry. That was rude of me. My friends can stand. They're late. Please come back and take the seats.
Wow.
And, you know, they were probably, you know, in their mid-30s. But so, and she was very tall, like absolutely gorgeous and tall with this like luscious curly hair. And he was pretty cute too.
Uh-huh.
He had an accent. He was from somewhere. I don't remember where. But so then they sit down next to me and he leans over and he's like, so what do you do? And I was like, well, I have a sex talk radio show in Los Angeles. Sex talk radio show. And so he's like, really? He's like, well, my wife here, she's a professional dominatrix. I think you two have a lot to talk about.
Really?
And I was like, hi, wow. So you get paid money to, like, you know, beat men. And she's like, yep.
And he's married to her.
How
the fuck could you be married to someone like that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he likes to get it too. But so apparently they're a little freaky in their relationship as well. And they go to like these sex parties and things like that, which I've always, always, always been interested in doing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I want to go with someone that I'm in a relationship with. You know what I mean? That way you kind of have like your safe place.
Right.
That you can go, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But so anyway, next thing you know, we're getting drunk and she's just giving me some of the intimate details about her job and things like that. And I'm just amazed. I'm in awe. I'm like, wow, I can't believe this. Like, she makes like a ton of money doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so then next thing you know, I'm outside having a cigarette with her husband and he leans over and he kisses me.
Wow.
And so I'm like, okay. And she's looking out the window watching us make out. And so I'm kind of like...
I've been missing out on so much in my life. Just because I didn't just kiss girls. I mean, what the fuck?
Well, he's married, you know?
And no, so, I know. But, I mean, aren't you afraid that the woman's going to say no and scream or something? I would be.
Well, yeah. You
know, lean over and kiss someone.
But again, I guess
you guys have been talking.
I guess my friendly personality is like shining through, you know. Yeah. But so anyway, so I'm making out with this guy on the bench, and she's like staring out the window at us. And she's like, you know, like opening her legs and just kind of being like very suggestive, like watching me make out with her husband. It's obviously turning her on.
Uh-huh.
So then we finish our cigarette and we go back into the bar. And next thing you know, I'm making out with the two of them at the same time, and his hand is down my pants.
Wow, Susie.
And like she's like, you know, just, and we're standing in the bar,
uh-huh,
like right there. My friends are now, all my guy friends from high school that I hadn't seen, you know, like back from when I was a freshman in high school, you know, I had guys there too.
Right.
So all of a sudden, they all come. I haven't seen them in a million years. And they're watching me like make out with this husband and wife with his hand down my pants at the bar. And then they're trying to get me and my girlfriend to come back to their house and have a foursome with them.
Really?
Yes.
And?
We didn't.
We didn't. Why?
Well, I don't know. For some reason.
Fuck, he would have had the time of his fucking life. A guy and three girls? Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
But so.
Maybe I should consider open marriage. The question is, will my wife?
Will your wife let you? Yes. But so I was just serious. I kind of got like a little scared at the time. I was kind of like I really don't know these people very well. You know what I mean? And to go back to their apartment and just kind of have a foursome with them, that would be, and especially with my girlfriend. Like, this is another one of my very good girlfriends. Actually, Anna and Faraday and I were very good friends when we were little. We would run around Faraday's house naked in her mom's dance studio and get stoned.
Naked? Why naked?
Because we would go in the hot tub naked, and then it was hot, it was summer, and so we'd go up to the dance studio and we'd run around and dance naked.
Wow.
Yes. I'm telling you, we were like, every dream that a guy could have, like, we actually, it was true. Like,
wow.
we fulfilled that dream. But yeah, so I don't know, I got a little bit nervous about having a foursome, like, with my girlfriend, you know, I'd never had any kind of sexual thing with her, and she's a single mom now, you know, so she's not feeling very sexual at the moment. But then also, I don't know, remember the last threesome I had?
Yes.
I woke up from that and I was just kind of horrified and shocked and just kind of like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, some things still scare you, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's take another short break, okay? I need to cough.
Okay.
Be back right after this.
Meet Brian. He's a CEO of a failing financial institution, and tonight he's going to bed in his million-dollar home and not in a Vegas resort hotel.
I was supposed to have had the presidential suite!
Hundreds of corporate execs just like Brian are having their salaries cut, bonuses taken away, and perks eliminated.
We were going to take the new Gulfstream jet!
But you can help. How? By sending money to Save the CEO Foundation. For just a few thousand dollars, Save the CEOs will make sure that Brian doesn't have to suffer. Instead, he'll be ridiculously rewarded for mediocre performance.
I deserve this!
As a sponsor, you'll get a picture of your CEO sailing in the Caribbean and a letter telling you of his progress.
Dear Mr. and Mrs. Sanchez, thanks to you, I was able to sail my new yacht, Malfeasance, to the Lesser Antilles, though the foie gras left something to be desired.
Won't you save the CEO? Because we all make mistakes, but that doesn't mean we should be forced to pay for them.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
Investigation, it paid off. My devotion, not enough. Leaving everything behind. Seeing what you got in mind. And now you're somewhat beautiful to me. You know I'm not in love, but out of time. Almost out of time. And I'm jaded, but I made it home. Yeah, I'm wasted. Now you know I hate it when you wear me out. Yeah, I blame it all on you bringing me down.
Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. No guess.
No guess. But since he stood us up, I'm going to tell you a little story about when I first dropped out of college at UC Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I had spent all of my money and blah, 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 blah. And so I didn't really want to work too hard or do anything. But so I'm reading the classified ads in the paper, and one of the ads was like, do you want to make up to $100,000 a year? And I'm like, yes. It was like,
you fell right for it.
And then it was like, do you think you have the ability to sell people on things? And I'm like, yes. It was like, do you think you're persuasive and blah, 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 and that you could really start working for something that could really help people? And I'm like, yes. And then it was, so if so, call this number. So I call the number, and they say you have to come in. I don't know what the job's for yet. And they say you've got to come in and have an interview, and then if they like you, you've got to come in and do like a 3-day training session with them.
Yeah. Did you ask them on the phone, though?
They wouldn't tell me.
Really?
Yes.
Then you already know something's wrong.
Well, my curiosity was piqued anyway.
Yeah.
So I drove down to Denver. You know, it was like a 2-hour drive, and I went and had my interview, and they absolutely loved me. Everyone else that was in there was like an overweight middle-aged man, you know, that had obviously been laid off or not very successful in their other jobs or careers. And they read the same ad, and they're like, yes, yeah, it's like salvation, please. But so anyway, I go back for the 3-day training seminar, and they you've got this very charismatic person, kind of like a cult leader in a way. Like, mm-hmm. you think, like, he has convinced himself that this job is really going to help people and change people's lives and, yeah. like, really help their businesses take off. Like, he really had convinced himself of this. And so when someone has really convinced himself of that, you kind of try and you're like, okay, well, maybe this can help people. But so the job was to sell signs.
Signs. What kind of sign?
Beautiful outdoor lighted electric signs.
Oh, I
see. They're
pan-faced
and three-dimensional. They're made of Lexan, the plastic of the future, guaranteed to increase your walk-in business by 50%. So, like, that was a little thing that they were, like, drilling into our head in the training seminar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to get your books. But they're huge, huge outdoor lighted electric signs. That if you drive up and down the street here, you could see.
Yeah.
And then they train you how to, like, spot them in an instant. So now, as I've driven across America, If I ever have anyone in my car, they're like, oh my God, Susie, shut up. Because I'm like, and that sign, and we did that sign. And they're like, Jesus Christ, I'm going to kick your ass if you don't shut up about the fucking signs. But so
did you manage to sell some?
So I got, they obviously took me in the job. I was like one of the top sellers for a while. But what we would do is we would get in caravans, and we would drive to like one horse towns in Utah and Nebraska and Wyoming and South Dakota. And, you know, just to these, in Nebraska, these really, really shitty little towns,
yeah.
That have like no traffic, and it's all little mom and pop stores. And we would go in there and, like, you know, sell them on our spiel.
Yeah.
And it's like, for one low monthly payment for the rest of your life, I guarantee you'll be in debt forever.
Yeah.
I left that part out.
Take a second mortgage.
Take a second mortgage so you can get this hideous, hideous, like, fluorescent, like, neon sign. If you really wanted to spend a lot of money, you can get, like, the scrolling marquee. But so anyway, yeah, so my boss would always have me, Jeff was his name, he would tell me to wear a short little mini skirt and to go into, like, I would specialize in gas stations. And service stations where it's all like grease monkey guys. And so I'd go in there in my cute little skirt and whatever with my little binder and show them all the signs and like all the testimonial letters that we had from other people being like, oh my God, you made our business like thrive. Thank you so much. So seriously, I kind of believed it at first, but then I realized I was like raping these people, these poor people in a town where you only have like one person walk into your store a day.
Yeah.
If we're increasing your walk-in business by 50%, that means you're getting two people a day.
Yeah. You know? Or one and a half.
Or one and a half. You know what I mean? What? You're right. One and a half. Fuck, I'm bad at math. God damn it. Shut up. But so I did that for probably like 6 months, and I would just go on these trips, and we would caravan around.
Mm-hmm.
And then their first payment was a check written to me that I would go and cash at the bank. And it was like I started off making 15% of the sign, and then I got up, like once I became one of the lead sellers, I would get 25% of the sign,
right.
The cost of the sign.
Mm-hmm.
So the bigger the sign, the more money it costs and the more money I make. And I was so persuasive at selling these signs that I finally was just like, these poor people, I can't do it anymore. I can't be, like, stealing from these people and raping them. I just feel wrong.
I know. You know, they do that with home improvement here.
Really?
You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. They go into all the needy areas, the poor areas, and they sell those people into fixing the roofs and the floors and windows and who knows what else.
Well, couldn't that increase the value of the house and help them in the long run?
Yeah, but these people don't have any fucking money, you know. They have to take a second mortgage. They take loans that they can't pay. And they really sell you on this, you know. And if you take people that are vulnerable, like older people and things like this, and you scare them about the condition of their house, their home,
aww,
they're going to get it fixed.
Oh, that's sad.
It is. But it's rampant here.
Aww.
I can't tell you how much of this goes on.
People just take advantage of people.
They do. They do, you know. And that's what you were doing, but you didn't know that, you know.
I know.
Yeah, but that's why they offer you those big bucks, you know.
I know. But yeah, so when the guy is like giving us a training seminar, and I'm telling you, when someone like really has convinced themselves that they believe in something, you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, maybe I can believe in this too.
Yeah.
And make $100,000 a year selling signs.
Yeah. They call them motivational speakers.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God. I should be a motivational speaker.
Yeah, you could be.
What could I talk about?
I don't know. Whatever they let you talk about.
Oh, man. I could find something funny.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But so I was just telling you before, I was watching on YouTube a second ago that Christian Bale versus Bill O'Reilly, where they interjected all of Christian Bale's like, fuck you. What is this, fucking amateur hour? Get the fuck. And Bill O'Reilly's like, swear to God, it was a fucking teleprompter. What the fuck? No. And it was just like going back and forth. It's absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to check it out, go to PerezHilton.com and go Christian Bale versus Bill O'Reilly, the mashup. Oh, my goodness.
That's cool.
I know.
We need to do some of these things, too. I'd love to make prank phone calls, but we need to find the victims.
We had always been meaning to do that.
Yeah, I know. But we have no victims. I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody that I know. And so you got. I don't know.
Well, it doesn't have to be anything hurtful.
Yeah.
It could be something funny.
That's true. But people don't like to be pranked, you know?
Actually, you know what Daniel did? Daniel did once upon a time. He was traveling somewhere, and I forget who he was with. Was it Daniel? Maybe. I don't remember. I think it was. But they ended up like calling his parents and saying like someone was in jail. And so the parents ended up like freaking out because they were traveling somewhere abroad. The parents ended up freaking out and calling like the U.S. embassy
really?
In that country and trying to like arrange like something or a way for them to get out of it.
Wow.
It's like, that would really suck.
Yeah.
And then they called back and they're like, April Fools.
That's a bad joke.
That's a bad, bad joke. Oh, my God. Have you ever been to jail?
No, God, no.
Really?
God, no.
Never?
No. Are you kidding? I would die if I had to go into jail,
well,
even for a couple hours.
You've never been arrested at all?
No. Let
wow.
me knock on wood here so I don't make the mistake of ever falling into that trap.
Never?
Never. Why? I mean, what? Is it
everyone's,
everybody that you know has been to jail?
Everyone's been to jail at least once. Haven't they?
Thank God I haven't been.
I wonder if it's on my record.
But you know what? What I was thinking the other day is, you know, you got to ask a guy, you know, when you talk to a man or something, and you got to ask, you know, if you have to be in prison for like a couple years,
oh.
you know, would you like refrain from sex or would you have homosexual sex, you know? And look, I mean, for a woman, it's different, I think.
Yeah.
You know, unless she's really, because women are not like totally like gay phobic or something, you know, homophobic, let's say. But men are. So, but the question is, are you going to, you know, I mean, wouldn't you prefer to have some sex rather than none at all? You know, let's say nobody rapes you and shit, okay? If it's up to you.
If you get to stick it in there?
Yeah, or whatever, you know?
Well, I guess if you close your eyes and you're getting a blowjob, it doesn't really matter who it's from.
I suppose, you know.
Would you take a blowjob from a guy?
You see, that's what, because I was asking myself that, you know, what would
self?
I do?
Would yes. I take a blowjob from somebody?
What would I do? Would I have homosexual sex or not at all, you know?
Well, what was your answer?
You know what? I haven't decided yet. But I think
ooh.
I might. I might actually do it.
You would stick it in a guy's ass?
Yeah.
Sam!
Well, no. I wouldn't. I hate the ass, but probably oral sex and stuff.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Not that it turns me on, but again, it's sex, you know? It's still sex. And I don't think anybody can last like 2-3 years without fucking sex, you know?
Well, I think I was telling you before in basic training, maybe they do the same thing in jail or maybe not. I don't know. But if they don't, they should. They should make everyone drink the cup of like the orange Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah.
That suppresses away your sexual desire.
Yeah.
I mean, they do that to sex offenders that have, like, multiple sex offenders. Well, at least I've seen it on Law & Order, so
yeah.
It must be true. you know, they give them hormones to suppress their, I don't know, what does it do? Like, turns
suppress
your balls
suppress their
off?
Libido or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it does, but, yeah, they call it, like, chemical castration
yes,
or something,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
So they should probably do that to people in jail.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that, you know, no, I don't think you can do that. I mean, it's like cruel and unusual.
Well, I don't know. They do it to pedophiles if they want to go back
into
the world.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
But remember when...
Because it's fitting there, you know? But, true. But if you're in for stealing a car or something, you know, it's not the same.
I want someone to steal my car. Or someone to drive it off a cliff.
It, yeah.
Can we?
Yeah. Well, maybe one of the listeners. Just tell them exactly where it is. Just leave it somewhere.
Can I do that and just pretend it was stolen?
Yeah, but not after you talked about it on the radio.
Shit. Damn it. I know, Evan and I were driving yesterday in my car to go to the lunch place, and this old lady like swerves into my lane, and Evan was like, "Look out!" I was like, "No, I want her to wreck the car." I was like, "Then I get full insurance money, goddammit." And he was like, "Not with me in it."
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh, sorry."
Yeah.
And I swerve into my lane again.
Plus, you'd only get it if it was totaled. I mean, if they had to fix it, you're stuck with a car that's been in an accident.
Yeah.
It'd be worth less.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
All my points are good, Susie.
I know.
Yeah.
But remember...
You're going to need my wisdom in Australia, I'm telling you.
Well...
Call me once a week for consultation.
I will. You'll be my therapist.
I can't say I've kept you out of trouble, but I tried.
You do try. No, remember last week, the day I was late for the show, you kept me out of trouble because I stayed... I spent the night at my boss's house because I was too drunk to drive home.
Right.
And I was like, what would Sam do? Sam would say, Susie, stay here. Go to sleep here and wake up in the morning. But then the problem wasn't solved because I woke up in the morning and I was even farther away from here than I usually am, and I had to drive drunk in the morning.
Right. You were still drunk.
I know. I was wasted that morning.
Yes.
I got hungover like at noon that day. I was like, oh. But back to the jail thing. Remember how when I bailed Franz out of jail for 10 grand?
Yes.
The only reason I did that was because I had a friend who was in a gang. And then Franz was in jail for 3 days. And then I asked my friend Dog. I was like, Dog, do you think Franz is like safe in jail? And Dog was like, is he white? And I was like, yeah. And Dog was like, does he have a pretty mouth? I'm like, yeah, he's got a pretty mouth. And Dog was like, shit, girlfriend, he's fucked. And he's like, and I mean that on multiple levels. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yep.
Then hence the bondsman and 10 grand later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not my finest moment. What are you crinkling about over there?
I'm sorry. I'll just do it once and for all. I'm trying to get a cough drop here.
I hate when people try and do something like, you know, so quietly that they just crinkle continuously like an hour.
Right. It lasts longer.
And it's like, just stick your shove your hand in there and get it over with.
Right. Just especially on the radio.
Yes.
Yeah. But we're not professional. We're just fucking around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just a hobby.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, jail is like the scariest thing for me. In fact, the other night,
I had so much fun in jail.
Yeah?
Yeah, but go ahead.
How did you have fun in jail?
It was the best time ever. Well, I was in Saratoga at the racetrack, and then I left my car like running on the side of the road because I forgot my camera at the bar, and I was all fucked up. I was like doing coke and everything else. I was underage, and I was wasted, so I shouldn't have been driving anyway. But so I go back to my car, and I hop in, and it was a Jetta, so the lights were still on, even though the keys had been removed from the ignition, and I go to start the car. Or go to put it in first gear and drive away, and it's not going anywhere. And I'm like, I'm thoroughly confused at this point. Then I get a knock on my window, and the cop's like dangling the keys in my face.
Really?
I'm like, oh, you have my keys. Thanks, officer. And I go to get them back, and he was like, license and registration, ma'am. And then I look, and he's on a bicycle, not like a motorcycle.
Oh, really?
And then I look to my right, and there's another cop on a bicycle on that side, like with a flashlight. And I look to the front, there are bicycle cops like surrounding my vehicle.
Whoa.
I'm like, oh, this is great. But so then, I never told you this?
Mm-mm.
But so then, I give them my license and registration, and then they come back with it, and they're like, ma'am, please get out of the vehicle. And I was like, why, officer? Like, what's going on? And he's like, ma'am, please put your hands behind your back. And I was like, officer, what's going on? And they start to handcuff me.
Wow.
And I was like, officer, the last time I was in handcuffs, they were pink and fuzzy, and it was voluntary. This is not okay. And they're kind of looking at each other, and they're like, is she serious?
Yeah.
Or is she just stupid? Like, what the fuck is going on here? And so then I was like, officer, why am I going to jail? And they were like, because you have a warrant for your arrest in Colorado, and you're in New York right now. And I'm like, oh, that. I was like, you know, that it's a minor mix-up. I'm like, it's no big deal. And they're like, yes, it is, ma'am. And so I was like, oh, so if I'm going to jail, can you go in my trunk, and can you get my yellow hoodie? It says University of Colorado, because I hear it's cold in jail. And also, I need that hair elastic that's around the gear shifter. Oh, and can you also get my my sparkly lip gloss that's in the cup holder, and they're just like, what? So I've got the bicycle police carrying my shit behind me.
They've got they actually did it.
They've got my sweatshirt, my lip gloss, my hair elastic, and my purse, because I'm in handcuffs, so I can't carry anything. And I get walked to jail by bicycle police. And they thought
how embarrassing is that?
No, it was hysterical.
Yeah?
Because they thought I was so funny, they wouldn't even put me in a cell. They let me sit in the office with them.
Really?
Like, handcuffed while they were, like, going through everything. And while they called my friend who was at the bar to come and bail me out. But the best was that I'm sitting there and I'm like, officer, I'm like, I'm cold. Can you put my sweatshirt on? And so he puts my sweatshirt on, my hand's still handcuffed, so I've got the hoodie on. And then like 10 minutes later, I'm like, officer, like, my hair's in my face. Can you put my hair in a ponytail? And so he comes over and he picks up my hair and he puts in this,
I can't believe they did this,
ridiculous side ponytail.
Wow.
Another 10 minutes go by and I'm like, can I have some coffee? Thanks.
Yep.
They bring me coffee.
You see, your magic even works on cops, man.
And
I'm telling you.
The best was that I asked the other guy, I look ridiculous now with the sweatshirt on, with my hands not through the arms, my hair in this ridiculously hideous side ponytail that a guy did, you know, because guys can't do hair. And then another guy comes over and he smears my lip gloss on my face.
Are you serious?
And so it looks like I have dick sucking lips because
it was. I can't fucking believe they did this.
I know.
Wow.
Because when you put this particular lip gloss on, it's very white and sparkly and you have to wipe the corners of your mouth or else it gets kind of like built up schmeg. And so he's smearing it over and I'm like, this is fabulous, guys. I'm like, thanks.
Was your experience in jail then?
Yeah, I had so much fun.
Well, okay, that's not jail. It doesn't count.
No. But I mean, it technically was. I was arrested and had to be bailed out.
Yeah, but what if you had to be in the fucking cell with these, you know,
brutal
chicks?
I'm sure I would have found lovely people to talk to and I would have made best friends with the most brutal of them all so she could protect me.
That's true. Wow.
Yes.
See, that's one thing you do well is befriend people.
I know. And I told my mom when I was a little girl, I was like, Mom, when I grow up, I really want to go to jail. And she was like, what?
Really?
And I was like, they get 3 square meals a day. They don't have to pay for like heat or electricity. They get recess. They get to go play outside. And my mom was like, don't you ever say that again, Susie. Don't you take it back. I'm like, no, I think it would be lovely.
Yeah. That would be like the scariest thing ever. In fact, the other night I had like a nightmare about this, that I was being chased and cops and jail. And I don't know what the fuck was going on. But I woke up like all sweaty and yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know.
What's going on in your mind?
No, so jail
Who's
really
after
scares
you?
Me. I don't know, but it really scares me. So I try to be an honest citizen, law-abiding.
Yeah, I wish I could say the same for myself.
You can't say the same thing.
Maybe
and especially in Australia, Susie, you better not get caught there.
No,
they're
going to
throw your ass out.
No, I actually already have a police officer in Cairns. It's my my new friend.
Oh, so he's going to protect you and get you out of jail?
I met him and his son on the plane when I was leaving. I met him and his son from Cairns to Brisbane.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm sitting next to them. And like the boy was so cute. He was like 10. And so I was talking to him about school in Australia. And I was like, yeah, I'm thinking of coming back here to be a teacher and blah, blah, blah. Tell me about your school. And so I was just kind of talking to him, and the father was like, you're great with kids. And I was like, I know. And then I was like, so what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm a police officer in Cairns. I was like, fuck yeah, buddy. I was like, remember this face, remember this name, and give me your card. I was like, because if I'm ever in trouble, it's a really small town, and I'm going to need a get out of jail free card.
Yeah, and I need a friend in the police department.
So I've already started networking. I've already got like my law side covered over there.
I see.
So... yeah, so I'm ready to go.
You're ready for goofing off and doing illegal things again.
Yes. No,
Daniel
and I are going to be good law-abiding citizens over there.
Are you?
Yes. He has to because he can't even really get drunk that much at night because if he's going scuba diving the next day, you know, the people that issue his certification or whatever can just show up randomly and give you a breathalyzer.
Oh, really?
And if you have alcohol in your breath at all, like even reminiscent from the night before, you know, he can lose his license.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's responsible for people's lives and shit.
It's serious. Yeah. Like, that's dangerous and, like, scary.
Yeah.
But
you know what? You won't have to worry about drunk driving because you said there's only 2 fucking roads there.
I know.
You probably won't be driving at all.
I know.
You're walking everywhere.
I know.
Or riding a fucking donkey or something.
Not riding a donkey. It'll be a llama.
A llama.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Do they have llamas in Australia? I thought it's in Tibet.
It is in Tibet, but Daniel wants to have a llama farm.
Right, so he's going to import them from Tibet?
I think so, and I would like to have some alpaca.
Okay.
So we'll have some alpaca, and I'll sit in a little rocking chair, and I'll knit alpaca sweaters.
Susie, the fucking farmer, man. I can't see that.
Oh, I will be farming my own wine. Don't you worry about
me. Yeah, I'm sure.
Australian wine's great.
Is it really?
Oh, it's fabulous. I love it.
They raise a lot of grapes there and stuff?
They do. Actually, I've got a bottle of Australian wine in my car right now.
Oh, I see.
That I was sucking on last night. I shouldn't say that, huh?
You've said a lot of things already.
Good point. Yeah. Well, at least I don't have people here judging me today.
Yeah.
Fucking staging an intervention. They God damn it.
I did not stage an intervention.
An intervention. Admit
I did
it.
Not. I did not. Why would I? I don't think I have the right to do it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And if you do stage an intervention, I was told you have to write a letter.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah. I guess there are like formal steps that you're supposed to take when you're staging an intervention. And the first is writing a letter saying you care about the person and you're worried about them. And these are the steps that they think you should take to kind of get help.
Makes sense.
I know.
Yeah.
That way you have it kind of in writing and you're not
okay,
like,
okay, so you
whatever.
Didn't get a letter from me. You know, it wasn't an intervention.
Okay.
It really wasn't. I mean, it's just that people are blown away by you and your decisions.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Faraday's not. She loves it.
Yeah. Well, she knows you. Yeah, she knows you. Free Spirit Susie.
She is so gorgeous. Are you friends with her on Facebook?
Yeah.
Did you look at all of her pictures?
No. I don't even know what she looks like because she always has a profile picture like, you know, the whole body thing where you can't see the face.
Well, click on some of her other pictures and you are going to be blown away.
Really?
I have some really beautiful friends.
Yes, you do.
You know what? It's really interesting. I have a lot of gorgeous friends.
Yeah. You haven't brought even a fraction of them in here.
I know. Well, it's hard for them because a lot of them have work and school during the show. But I really need to get Lena and Christy in here next week.
Yeah, you should.
Oh, my God. They'll be
Although we've got a lot of... you know what we have coming? Who we have coming
what
next
week? What
we've got? Yeah. Well, it's a what? A transsexual.
Really?
Yeah, that looks like a gorgeous, gorgeous fucking woman.
How do you know?
In porn. Because I saw the pictures on the internet.
So she had her penis cut off?
Yeah.
And had a vagina sculpted.
Yeah, whatever it is. But you see her riding a big cock.
No.
Yeah.
You saw this?
Yeah, I looked it up online, you know. Kimber James, look it up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if she'll show me her vagina.
Maybe.
I want to see it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are you curious?
Oh, I'm very curious.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd want to see it. It probably looks like something mutilated or something, no?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. Now I'm really excited.
Yeah, well, let's go online and we'll see what a pussy looks like. We don't have to see it here. I'm sure you can find it online. Kimber James, just Google it and you'll find it.
Okay.
And I think there's an official site or something.
Kimber James.
Yeah. And I don't care how much of a woman she looks like, I'm still going to look at her as a man because that's what she is.
I don't know. Kimber James, transsexual star. Ooh, let's see.
Looks pretty gorgeous, no?
She is cute, but she...
I mean, the body of a woman, you know?
Her boobs, you can see, are definitely fake.
Yeah.
But whoa. No, she's got the hip bones of a guy.
Yeah?
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute.
What are you looking at? She's taking
a close
look.
She still has a penis.
Really?
Yep.
You can see that?
She's having it sucked.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
So maybe what I saw was anal sex.
Whoa, that is really, really disconcerting.
Really?
You've got this, like, she's got these, like, doe-like eyes. She's got thin hair, kind of like a man.
Mm-hmm.
But then her breasts, you could tell they're fake with the implants. And the nipples of a man, it kind of looks like. And then the hips of a guy, but she's super, super, super skinny.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And she's having her penis sucked. That sounds really funny.
Wow. Well, maybe, so you're not going to be able to see a vagina. I'm sure you'll want to see the cock, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
I know. And what gets me is the men that are really turned on by this shit.
This is, look at these. Oh, my God. There are even more down here. And it's just really weird to see a woman with a vagina. With a cock
with
and balls.
With a cock, yeah. She-male.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
So that's what they call pre-op, I think, right? Before they have the operation.
Holy shit, Sam.
Anyway, we're going to have Kimber James in the studio probably Tuesday. And then we're going to have another porn star on Wednesday, I think, also. Cinnamon something. So, anyway, Susie, our time's up.
I can't stop looking at this.
Stay tuned for a real estate recap right after this. TJ is still out with a baby. Who, by the way, looks just like TJ.
That's so funny.
And she's so cute. It's amazing. And
I love her name. I love how, like, old-fashioned names are kind of coming back.
Uh-huh.
I just think it's so cute. Millie McCormick.
I
want to see her.
I'll send you a picture. He sent out a photo.
Cool. Is he going to bring her into the studio at all?
I don't know. I mean, she's still too small. He's not even bringing himself into the studio.
Good point.
Yeah. Anyway, so thanks for listening, and we'll be right here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Susie. in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.